All right, welcome back to KNBR. Bill Lasky filling in for Marty Lurie as we take you up to the 110 start. Kevin Gausman on the hill for the San Francisco Giants. He's 3-2 with a 4.05 earned run average against Jesus Luzardo, the young 22-year-old who's 2-2 with a 4.32 earned run average. That starts at 110. John Miller and Dave Fleming on the call. Our next guest is a color analyst for the Miami Marlins. He played 13 years in the major leagues. Welcome in, Tommy Hutton. How are you doing today, Tommy?
You know, I'm doing good, Bill. I have to wish Marty my happy Rosh Hashanah. He is the Sandy Koufax of broadcasters.
That's a good one.
The day off, so
I'll call him that tomorrow, Tommy. How's that? Well, I want to go on to your career right off the bat because I remember you very well, a little before my time. But I remember the Tommy Hutton, the nice glove work you used to do, and you played with the Dodgers, the Phillies, Toronto, Montreal. Some of the things that I highlighted here, 12 years in the National League, 1 year in the American League. But some of the different things, some of the different players you played with, some great championships, especially the National League championship team, Phillies. Tell us a little bit about the earlier part of your career.
Well, you know, I came up in the Dodger organization, played with some great players in the minor leagues. As a matter of fact, we had a Triple-A team 1 year that featured Ron Say at third, Bobby Valentine at short, Davey Lopes at second. I played first. We had Von Joshua, Tom Pashorek, and Bill Buckner in the outfield.
Wow.
So that was a pretty good team.
It's a good team right there.
but I remember going to spring training one time, and as a first baseman, I remember going out to my position during some of the PFPs, some of the drills, and I'm standing there, and there's Buckner, there's Garvey, there's Ron Fairley, there's Wes Parker, and I'm thinking, man, I don't have much of a chance here. So most of my time coming up was with the Dodgers in AAA, did get up a little bit with them. But then when I got traded to Philadelphia, that's when I got an opportunity to play a little bit. And I played with some great guys, with Mike Schmidt, with Steve Carlton, Bob Boone, and guys like that. And we had some really good teams there.
You sure did. And your defensive side, you fielded a 995 as your career percentage. Just a real good glove guy. You talked a little bit about Carlton in the years with Philadelphia. I mean, he was amazing as he came up as a young pitcher. And then you saw him just elevate his game as a pitcher. But in those Philadelphia years, there was a lot of talent on that team. And like you said, they won the National League Championship Series, ended up losing after that. Tell us a little bit more about your time with Philly, because you had some great years there.
Yeah, you know, I was at a point where after my first year there, which was 72, and by the way, I saw Steve Carlton that year on a team that won 59 games. We weren't very good. Steve Carlton won 27. I think he threw 30 complete games. He threw 30 complete games that year. It was just incredible. It was like, you know, you show up to the ballpark, and we knew Lefty was on the mound, and we go, hey, this is our one chance to win this week. let's go. So that was fun watching him do that. And then I kind of melded into more of a role player, defense at first base. At one point, for about a year and a half, we reacquired Richie Allen, and Dick Allen would play. And I'd pick him up at first. And then I remember – this is a big trade that the Phillies made with the Giants. I remember sitting on the team bus. We were getting ready to go on a road trip, and Paul Owens got on the bus, and he called Willie Montanez off the bus. And he said, Willie, we just traded you to the Giants for Gary Maddox.
Oh.
And that proved to be a good trade. Willie was a great
that
guy.
That was a real good trade. That was really good trade.
Maddox. Maddox could patrol the outfield.
He sure could. Now, one of the things, we had Rich Waltz on the weekend when Tom Seaver passed away, and he told a story about you. And Tom Seaver came over and said hello to you. And of course, your numbers against him, I wrote them down, 62 plate appearances. You hit 320 off of them, 11 walks, 3 home runs, 15 RBIs. And Rich said to me, he said, hey, Bill, you used to pitch. When you'd go to guys that owned you, how'd you do? And I'd say, oh, I'd say hello to him, put a smile on my face, and turn around and just go, I hated that guy. And you know what? Tom Seaver was such a competitor, and you were that guy. There's always one guy in that lineup. Doesn't matter what you throw, you always hit him. And you were that guy against Tom Seaver. Tell me your thoughts on Tom Seaver.
you know, it became a lot of a mental game, because not being the everyday first baseman, I think 1 year, 73 or 4, because I'd had some success against him the year before, we opened up in New York, Steve Carlton against Seaver opening day, and I'm in the lineup hitting cleanup. And here's a guy who hit 22 career home runs, and I'm hitting cleanup against Seaver. I think I went 1-for-3, but he beat us that day. And it was just, it was one of those things where I'd come to the ballpark, Seaver, I need to know he'd be pitching. And my teammates, guys, would come up to me and they go, "Oh, you're good for 2 or 3 today. Seaver's on the mound." You know, so all of a sudden that works on your head. And it just became a mental thing. I mean, for a guy who had 22 career home runs, hitting 3 off him, it was an honor. And he was a competitor, that's for sure.
He sure was. And, of course, Lou Brock passed away about a week after him. Some really great competitors, Hall of Famers on top of that. And, you know, it just goes to show you, and, you know, time comes down to everybody, you know, and those were two great players that we lost in the Hall of Fame and in the baseball world. But let's get into today's world, the Miami Marlins, your color analyst for them. I want to start off with Don Mattingly, because Don Mattingly has taken over a role, especially with a 60-game season and all the COVID tests and how many shutdowns the Marlins had. Tell me how he is dealing with this, and now you guys are 26-24. In fifth place right now in the playoffs and doing extremely well. Tell me your thoughts on all that.
It's been absolutely incredible. Now, I know Gabe Kapler will get some votes. I know Jace Tingler out in San Diego will get some votes for Manager of the Year. But I truly feel if Don Mattingly doesn't win it, there's something wrong, because he had to deal with early in the year after that first series in Philadelphia. All these guys tested positive. There were 18 guys that stayed in the hotel in Philadelphia for 7 or 8 days. They put the ones who were still positive on a bus and sent them to Florida to quarantine there. General manager Michael Hill then put together a mishmash of players just so he'd have enough guys. They started off actually 7-1. They've continued. So Don Mattingly, through all of this, has kept this group together. They're all healthy now. They actually had their five-man rotation, starting rotation, three of them were in quarantine to start the season. So they didn't even have those guys. So now they've got some young arms back in a short series with Sandy Alcantara, Pablo Lopez, and Sixto Sanchez. Those three guys are going to give most teams fit. So if they get to the playoffs, which they got a pretty good chance right now, it'll be interesting to see. Not a lot of experience with those guys, but it'll be interesting to see how they fare.
And I tell you one other thing, Tommy Hutton sitting in here on Talking Baseball, Bill Lasky in for Barney Lurie. Picking up Starling Marte, here was a guy that was with the Pirates, and then he came over to Arizona and was just having an outstanding year. Of course, Arizona made a lot of trades, and Starling Marte was just a key player in both those teams. How is he fitting in with the Marlins and his leadership roles?
Unbelievably well. I was telling somebody, one of our pre- and post-game analysts who I work with a lot, Gabby Sanchez, who played, was an all-star first baseman, played with Starling Marte in Pittsburgh. And I remember when we acquired Marte, you know, I would see him occasionally. We'd see him 3 games in Pittsburgh, then maybe 3 months later you'd see him in another 3-game series. But all of a sudden, getting to see him every night with the skills that he has, he's a tremendous athlete. He can really play center field. Remember, it was Starling Marte who the Pirates wanted in center field, and they pushed Andrew McCutchen over to right because Marte is such a good center fielder. He has speed. He's stolen some bases. He has power. He's hit a couple of big home runs. He's driven in some runs. So it's been one of the best deals they've made, and he's really fit in with this ball club too. And a lot of people think it's all young guys, and it really isn't, because Corey Dickerson's a veteran hitter. He's in that lineup. Matt Joyce, a veteran hitter, along with Marte. Miguel Rojas has done a great job at short. The young kid who's really you don't want to say face of the franchise, but people, you know, out in your territory don't get to see the Marlins that much. Brian Anderson, who, by the way, hit three home runs last night. He does a fantastic job at third base. And Jesus Aguilar, another veteran guy.
Yeah.
So they've got some good bats. They don't have the home run pop that the Yankees do, hit all the home runs they have lately. But it'll be fun to see if they get to the playoffs, mainly because of their starting three.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Hutton joining me. He's the voice of Miami Marlins, color analyst. You know, one of the numbers I look at is how they play at home and how they play away. And they win more games away than they do in Miami. And it's just puzzling to me because you get that home field advantage. Now, if they do get into playoffs, they may want to go to Houston and Texas to play, you know, because the numbers are unbelievable. 17-10 on the road, and then when they're at home, they're way under 500. What is the problem with that?
Yeah, I think a little of that is hard to figure because early on, remember, I told you they got off to a good start.
Yeah.
They weren't playing games in Miami because of the quarantine, so all their games, they had a few series scheduled on the road. So a lot of their early games when they were playing really good, got off to that good start, were on the road. And then I think they came home, and this is just my opinion, because they had been away from their family so long, it took a while to make the adjustment, you know, yeah. to get home, go to the home ballpark, and do all that. And I think now that's starting to turn around a little bit, and they've been playing pretty well at home. They had that great series. A seven-game series against the Phillies
in 5 days,
and they won 5-7. That was big for them.
Yeah, that was outstanding. I was watching that couple doubleheaders, and now they're playing Washington again today. They got a doubleheader tomorrow.
Yeah,
but their schedule's pretty tough. They got to go to Atlanta for four, and then they finish with the Yankees. You know, the wild card is still up in grasp. There's probably five or six teams, and it's going to go down, I really feel, the last weekend. I really do. And again, Miami with Don Mattingly, they're going to have to put up some numbers here against two tough teams once they get past Washington.
Yeah, they had the doubleheader last night, one tonight, and two tomorrow against Washington, so there's five games. They will have finished the season when it's all said and done, the last 24 days, 28 games. With no days off.
Jeez.
And then they go into Atlanta, and Atlanta has always played them tough. So that's going to be a tough four-game series. They're still trying to figure out how to get Freddie Freeman out, how to get Ronald Acuna out. And then after that, oh, guess who's healthy now?
Yeah.
New York Yankees. And so you're right. The last week of the season isn't going to be an easy one with those four games against the Braves and then three in New York.
Well, Tommy Hutton, thanks so much for joining me today. We'll definitely be watching the Marlins as they count them down here as we get down to the next week. And hopefully the Marlins will get in there. That'll be an interesting story as well with Don Mattingly. But again, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it here on KNBR.
Hey, Bill, my pleasure. Say hi to all my friends out in the Bay Area there.
I will, Tommy. Thanks again. That was Tommy Hutton on Talkin' Baseball. And we're going to take a quick break here on KNBR, the sports leader.